in Punjabi, they would straight out just say, "The buddhi lagdiyan." You look like an old woman.
Do I freak out about it? Oh my God, I'm getting older. I'm gonna get grey hair. People are gonna know that I'm older.
For them, it's like a great thing, you know. Like, my woman's still young. My woman, I can go grey, but I can pull a younger woman.
Annabelle, aka Mummy Imperfect, and you are listening to the Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect, the weekly podcast that celebrates and explores all things womanhood and motherhood. And here in the Sisterhood, we keep it real. We have those honest, open conversations. Those conversations that are sometimes a bit awkward, but we try and breeze through them here. So topics that me and my wonderful guests have covered, is it my wonderful guest and I, but whatever it is, what things that we have covered are pregnancy, sexuality, homeschooling kids, raising kids with two cultures, our relationship with food, periods, menopause. So these are just a few of the 62 episodes of the Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect, and that's just season two. So do check out the other episodes if you haven't already. So for this episode, I'm going to be talking about a subject that is currently quite close to my heart. It's going grey. So yep, I know that some of you have sorted out your lockdown hair already because Silence opened up on Monday, but I haven't done it yet. And do I even want to? Because considering my lockdown issue was grey roots, okay? I mean, yes, I need a cut as well, but I'm okay with that. I don't have this, you know, sleek little bob cut that I'm trying to maintain. So that's all fine. It's the grey roots. Why am I so obsessed with getting them coloured? What is the stigma around grey hair? Is it possible to go grey gracefully while still looking sexy and stylish? My guest today is Haji, aka the Grey Indian, and she's going to help me answer all these questions and more. Welcome to the Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect, Haji.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. This is my first podcast, so I'm just really excited to be on my first podcast.
Well, it's good to have you. It is good to have you. So I came across you quite recently when you were part of the Vartika Stronger Roots hair campaign. And there were a few people in there, and it's all quite just inspiring stories, you know, and you shared your story of going grey. So how was it, first of all, being part of that campaign? Because it looked very nice, very glam. And I use the brand anyway. I mean, this is not an advert, by the way. They're not paying me. But I do slap a bit of Thiel on my hair now and then. And that's the Thiel is Vartika. It's cool.
Yeah. It was, I mean, the whole team, firstly, they were amazing. And I think when I heard about it, not just about the grey hair story, but I knew about a few of the other stories as well. I was like, okay, this is something really interesting. It's something very different, especially for our Indian culture, to be doing with, like, just do a campaign that's just focused on people that really, I feel like, don't get a lot of awareness in our culture. It happens to so many. It's like what you talked about earlier, like menopause. It's such a taboo thing. Women don't just openly talk about it. So I think when this campaign came about, it was like, wow, you know, like, I felt really honoured that they'd asked me. I was like, my gosh, you know, the fact that you feel that I could inspire or people can relate to me because of what I've done and what I've gone through. It was just it was a privilege. I was honoured to be able to do it with them. Yeah.
And for me, like, I'm not just saying this because you're a guest today, but you really stood out for me. And I think, I don't know, maybe because we're similar ages, like, I'm 42 and I obviously have been thinking about this whole grey thing, but I was like, wow, like, oh my God, this woman, she looks stunning. Like, I literally said to my friend Kenneth, I was like, oh wow, who is that woman with the grey hair? Because she looks stunning, like, she's really pulling it off. And the only people who I have seen who have made me think, do I want to dye my grey roots or not, one of my friends, Karuna, she's my university friend. She lives out in Miami now. Every time I see her, she comes over. So she has a few more grays. They're kind of towards the front. And she looks so nice. Like, she just pulls it off. And her sisters, nobody really cares about colouring their hair. Her mum doesn't. They pull it off. And I'm like, gosh, let me do that. But then somebody says something like, oh my gosh, your grey hairs, Rina. You need to sort them out. You look a bit off key. I've been told I've looked off key because, oh, your face looks young, but the grey hairs are really spoiling it, you know. Mm-hmm. So colour your hair. Please, Rena. Like, what? How did you feel about this? Like, and when did you let your hair just go grey naturally?
So mine happened just before the COVID era, and but before that, like, you know, there's years and years back. I'm talking about almost like when I was about 25 years old, and I'm 44 now. I used to work at the airport as a check-in agent, and I always remember, it's never left me, this woman that I checked in, an Asian woman, she must have easily been in her late 30s, mid-30s. She had a lob haircut, and her hair was grey. She, literally, all of it was grey. And she had this red lipstick, and I remember looking at her and just thinking, my God, you're so chic. I actually asked her, and I said, is that your natural hair, or is it dyed? And she just said, oh, she said, it's natural, but that's it, and then she walked away. And that woman just never left me. You're like, as in, she's always been there. I haven't forgotten her, basically. And then when I had my second child, which was just about 3 years ago, he was a lot more challenging than my first one. So I really hated this bugbear of dyeing my hair. And then I was blonde at that time. So I showed my husband all these pictures of silver women, you know, who've gone grey. They've dyed their hair that way. It's trendy. And he wasn't buying it at that point. He was like, no, I don't really like it. No, I don't like it. But then fast forward to like 2-3 years later, just before COVID, I had decided that I just can't be bothered with it anymore. And it was like, I'd say a few months before, I went on my stories on my makeup artist account on Instagram. And I was just talking out loudly to everybody that, oh, I can't really... I don't know if I can be bothered with dyeing my hair again and again. It's such a hassle and blah, 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 blah. Just to get it out there, basically. And then a few months later, come like around about February time, I was just like, you know what? I'm just not going to do it again. I'm just not going to do it. And I'm not even going to speak to the hubby about it. I'm not going to speak to anyone about it. I'm just going to let it happen. And then COVID came in, the lockdown came in. So I feel like I'm a grey hair cheater because I didn't have to face a lot of people in my first 3 to 4 months, right? I was able to just like kind of, you know, be locked in, hide away, wear a cap when I go out and so on. So those first, I'd say 4 months were really easy to basically do. But yeah, that's where I just kind of just thought to myself, I just don't want to do it anymore. It became a hassle, and I really enjoyed dyeing my hair. I don't know about you know, you, but like with me, I've been so many colors in the past. I've been, and then I was like highlighted. I finally got to the right blonde that I wanted, which was an ash blonde. It took me years to get there, and it was like I got there, and I was just like, I just can't be bothered anymore. It used to take me 4 hours in a salon chair.
And it's expensive as well, isn't it?
It's really expensive.
Unless you're doing box dyes, and I've had really bad experiences with box dyes. Like, my bathroom has never been the same, and I just, the colours, like... So if we get it in a salon...
Oh, you get it on your skin.
No. But the thing is, they're not great for you anyway, are they? Because it's like a cocktail of chemicals that you're actually putting on your head, on your hair.
Yeah, and I have a sensitive scalp anyway. Mm-hmm. For a very long time, I've had slight psoriasis in my scalp. So the fact that I would do that again and again and put these kind of products and bleach and all that kind of stuff on my scalp just for the sake of having this look that I wanted, it's just sounds quite ridiculous now when I actually think about it.
The thing is, like, with hair colour, like, I think I didn't dye my hair for ages. Like, my sisters have got amazing hair. They've played around with it with colours and styles and things. I have been the one that's had boring hair forever. Uh-huh. And then it's only because then when I started going grey, then I thought... And it's not like, you know, it's not majorly grey. It's just a bit here and there. However, I thought, okay, I'm going to colour my hair because I don't like the greys. And let me just have fun with it. So then I kind of experimented. And only in the last few years, right, with balayage, this and that, you know. Mm-hmm. And that is me, like, oh my God, I'm so wild because I've got caramel balayage. Like, you know, I haven't done anything crazy or wacky. But then I thought, let me have a bit of fun with it. But like you said, it's time consuming and it is expensive. And part of me... Like, I have made an appointment at the salon and I penciled it in my diary. I penciled it because I'm like, you know, it's a long time. It's a lot of money. It's like, I can't be bothered. Like, and then I thought, no, let me talk to Haji. Let me talk to you because this is a lot of my friends. Like I said, I'm 42. So a lot of my friends that I've kind of grown up with, they're the similar ages. And everybody is having these conversations now. Oh my, I've got these greys. I've got these whites in my hair. A lot of my friends used to pull them out. Which So if you get too many,
I used to do that.
Did you?
Mine are all on my hairline. Mm-hmm. So around about, I'd say about 4 or 5 years ago, I used to like pluck them out of here. And I just think to myself now, it's so bizarre that I would do that. Why would I pluck hair from my forehead? Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
But there's that saying as well that, you know, if you pluck out a white hair, then like 6 more come to its funeral. I don't know if that's true.
Apparently, or not. I don't know. I don't know whether that's true either. I mean, it could be true looking at this now.
What happened to me though, and I don't know about you, but when I had my kids, every time I had a kid, because I've got 3 kids,
wow.
Every time I lost loads of hair, like when they were like a few months old, like, yeah. And I'm talking about like this at the temples, it was see through, like. I, you know, you could see my scalp. I had to do different kinds of comb over type hairstyles to try and hide it. And I have discussed female hair loss on this podcast before. There was a whole episode dedicated to it, and so one lady had alopecia, and I was speaking to a doctor about it and stuff. But for me, that it, you know, it was quite sensitive because your hair it's a big deal, isn't it? Hair,
of course.
It's yeah. People notice it. You know, everybody feels a certain way about the yeah. hair and how they like it and stuff. So like I was saying, you know, having 3 children, I think now my hair hasn't 100% ever recovered, so mm-hmm. it's still a little bit thinner than I would like, and I don't know what I can really do about it. It's just kind of looking after myself and stuff. Did you experience that as well?
After my second child, I think I experienced it a lot more. I don't know whether it was because I was older. I don't know if that made a difference, but I really noticed it. And I've had alopecia as well. And both times I had noticed it when I'd been to the hairdressers, actually. And they were like,
really?
Do you know you've got this spot here? And
okay.
I was like, no. And when they show you, it's like, oh my God, you know. And afterwards, I felt so ridiculous because I was like, you know, there are people who go through something worse than this, basically.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I've just got the one. You feel really shallow for it, but it's your head and it's your body, and it is a shock to see something like that. And just recently, I lost a lot of hair just in the last, I would say, month to 2 months, because I went on a specific diet. I didn't do it properly, so I hit ketosis really hard, and then
ketosis.
The effect mm-hmm. of that was. Like lots of hair loss, to the point where it actually came to my 1 year anniversary of being grey, which is a huge thing on Instagram.
Yes,
when you're part
yeah.
of the Silver Sister community, it's like, wow, I've reached my 1 year. And I just couldn't be excited about it because I'd just come out of the shower and so much hair had come out. I just ended up crying, and then I just shared it on Instagram, like with the sisters.
Yeah.
And you know, they're amazing. They have your back and everything. But yeah, hair loss is a big thing for women. That's it. It's like, really, we feel like it's very much our pride. It's part of us just ready for the day, isn't it? Just having our locks.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So you mentioned the sister community. And the other day on your Instagram page, I saw this amazing video of, you know, this kind of compilation kind of videos like the people have done them for, what was it? No Rush, but this was a different song and it was different. So it was all about grey hair. And so there was all these grey-haired, silver-haired women, beautiful women, you know, passing the baton to each other
yeah.
and really celebrating it. And it was, I was like, oh my God, these women look amazing. Like everybody looked absolutely amazing. And they're wearing their grey hair with pride.
Yes. And that's what's so beautiful. It's like, if you ever want to, you know, if you're thinking about going grey and you want that support and you need the encouragement, because you're going to have days where you don't feel so great. You're going to have days where you look in that mirror, and when you're feeling poorly, let's say. Normally when you look in the mirror, you're going to look at yourself and you're going to be like, I look like shit today because I don't feel well. But when you go grey, you suddenly blame the grey hair. Oh my God, is this why I look so shit and old today? And it's like, no, even if you had your dyed hair, you would look exactly the same. But, you know, your focus is going there. But the sisterhood is just amazing because, you know, we're all there, we encourage each other. And when you were just now talking about this reel, we've just done an Asian sisters one, which is a whole load of us Indian sisters, the ones that, you know,
that's the one I'm talking about. Yes.
Is that the one?
Yeah,
we're
yeah,
just
yeah,
all
yeah.
Asian sisters. And it was so amazing because it's so true that, you know, as time's going on, I am seeing more and more Asian women, India, Australia, you know, Canada, here just coming on board. And they first, what they do is they don't necessarily, they don't want to straight away come out on Instagram, so they'll first just send a message and just say, oh, I'm thinking about this and I really want to do this, or I had this kind of comment. And so, you know, they reach out first, like in the DMs, just like to get a kind of feel, and I think to feel that, you know, that support as well, like you're not alone, you know, we've got each other on here. We know, especially in the Asian culture, how difficult it is. It's like what you were talking about earlier, how people talk to you, and what they might say when they see a few sprinkles of grey. And my last post, not the one today, but the one when I put the reel up yesterday, was around how rude Indian comments can be in comparison to English comments. And it was like, you know, in English, they could turn around and be like, oh, that makes you look older. Whereas in Punjabi, they would straight out just say, the buddhi lag diya. You look like an old woman.
You look like a grandma, yeah. Exactly.
And it's like an old lady. And it really, yeah, and it can really take you down, because it's just the way that they're culturally kind of programmed to think now, isn't it? Like, I feel like there's no change in the older generation. I just feel like we need to be the generation of change. We shouldn't focus so much on changing them. We need to be active in what we can change moving forward, you know?
Yeah. I think it's going to take a long time to change. But yeah, we need to be the ones, because like when I was growing up, you know, people would freely say things about my weight, for example. And I see people do it all the time, or colour or something. Like, you know, I'd go to India after years, and then the first thing would be like, "Moti ho gayi," you know. Yeah. So, you know, so you put on weight. So yeah, I think it's just normal for them to say things like that, but it's not right, is it?
Yeah, they say the same thing about, I mean, the older generation would say the same thing about my children. You know, they're 7 and 3, but, oh, Maria, you know, you can never be right. You're either too fat or you're too thin, right? Oh, they're too skinny, they're too Maria. And I'll just be like, you guys are so used to just seeing big, fat, chubby kids that it's okay, you know, they're different sizes, different shapes. That's what humans are, you know, they just have this ideal that all kids should be looking like a certain way,
I was trying to think about celebrities, like female celebrities that I know who have grey hair, who are really rocking it. And I don't know, I really couldn't think of anyone. Like on the Indian side and the Western side, I don't know. Do you know anyone?
On the Western side, there are a couple, but they're much older. So there's like Jamie Lee Curtis, there's... what's her name? She's come in... Helen Mirren, she's gone grey now as well, grey silver. So you're right, I mean, every time I see like an advert, a box dye advert by Eva Longoria, I just get so annoyed seeing her now, because I'm just like, you're really sending out the wrong message. Like, it was almost like, oh, I've let myself go the last advert, and it's like, how dare you, you know, like, okay, promote the box dye, but don't take down the women who basically want to embrace their greys. It's like, you know, and that's the thing, isn't it? This is the way the beauty industry is. They make it look like such a tragic thing. And it's like, come on, you know, it's not. It's not anymore. And,
But the beauty industry thrives off of people's insecurities, doesn't it?
Yes,
That is what they do. And it's I kind of think it's a difficult one, because, you know, I like makeup. I like looking good. I take care of myself. But then I think there is this line, isn't there? And I've only, like, in my 40s, like, I'm 42 now, but I've just come to realize there is that balance where it's like, you want to look good, you work on yourself, but then you don't want to hate yourself in the process of it, you know. It's like acceptance and self-improvement. There's a balance between it.
And it's really sad. I just think that, you know, I feel like you and I, we're the same age. We've been through a certain part of our lives where this is now where we see a lot more of it. I just think about the generations to come, the girls who are still in their 20s or in their teens and who are yet to come into this world of ruthless social media. You know, I'm a makeup artist and I see these ads and these new companies and, you know, this brand, that brand, oh, this new eyeshadow. And I even think to myself, oh my God, like, what now? Like, you know, I've just purchased the latest things for my kit for my clients, and now you're going to show me something. I get stressed by it simply because of the finances. I just think, oh my God, like, how many things am I supposed to purchase for my kit, you know? And I can't even imagine. I have come across so many women that I've worked on in the past who've been like, oh, I've got this. Oh, I've got this. I've got this. But I don't know how to apply it. I'm really rubbish at makeup. I've got them, but I don't know what to do with them. And that just shows you the mindset, right? That you, A, you don't know how to apply it. B, B, you clearly haven't been too worried about applying it, but three, it's like a trend thing for you. Like, oh, people are getting this, so I should be getting it too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's madness.
But I see now a lot of young girls who are like in their teens, like even early teens, and their makeup skills, I'm telling you, are on point, like better than mine, because they're watching all these videos on YouTube and stuff, all these tutorials. They know what a cut crease is. They know everything. I just learned that recently, right? And still would never do it because I can't be bothered. But they know all of this, and they're literally wearing like so much makeup though. And the thing is, they look amazing, and you know, but this is the everyday look for them, and they're spending all their pocket money on makeup. And I don't know, part of me thinks, you know, good for you, you look nice, you're enjoying it and stuff, but then it's like your skin is still like growing and stuff. Like I have a 12-year-old daughter, that's my eldest, and I kind of think, you know, when she asks me about makeup, I'm not like, oh no, you're never gonna wear it, because that's how I was told, like, oh no, makeup's so bad, stay away from it, you know, bad girls wear it. But I don't want to do that. I want to kind of demystify it. It's like, okay, you know, when you go to parties and whatever, you can put a bit of makeup on, you're not gonna wear it every day. I don't want you to, because I think, just save it, like, you're just young, you'll get older. Do you get what I mean?
And their skin is just, it's a real shame, because actually when they do apply that kind of makeup, their skin can look amazing and flawless, because they don't have our skin anymore. You know, our skin, our skin has aged now along with us. They've got that really young, youthful skin. And so when they do apply it, they can look amazing, just like you'll see like the Kylie Jenners and so on the magazines or whatever. But you're right, it is such a shame, because actually at that age, you do have lovely skin and you're covering it up. And, you know, I'm going to say something with your daughter now getting older. There was something that somebody said to me once when I used to work somewhere ages ago, and she had a daughter. And she had this conversation with me about her daughter wanting to wear makeup. And I loved what she said to her daughter in response. And I think her daughter was only about 13 back then. And we're talking about 10 years back now, 15 years back. And she just said to her daughter, she said, you know, I don't have a problem with you wearing makeup. You can wear as much as you want. But just realize that that kind of makeup is going to get you certain attention from certain older men. And you need to ask yourself, you're ready for that. And that was enough. And she just thought, okay. And she just kind of, I think she just did eyeliner and that was it. She went with nothing else. But I thought that was a really good response to basically say to your daughter, because that is what happens, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I actually had that conversation with my niece once, and she's a little bit older. And, you know, again, her makeup skills are totally on point. She's amazing at it. But it does make her look a good few years older, and I had said, you might find yourself in uncomfortable situations, or you know, you don't want to feel uncomfortable, you don't want to, because at that age it's like you don't even know what to do with that attention, and why should you feel uncomfortable. But it's just the way that women are judged, like it starts so early, doesn't it? And I feel like this whole getting older thing, right? And so grey hair, you know, that's another thing about grey hair. It's like, you can't deny it's an aging process. It's getting older. Like, I know it happens to some people earlier. Like, my mum told me she started going grey at like 21 or something. I started going grey at like 10 years after that, like about 31 or something. But, you know, I just think it's one of those things where it's like, do I accept this as like part of the aging process? Am I okay with it? Or do I freak out about it? Oh my God, I'm getting older. I'm going to get grey hair. People are going to know that I'm older. Because that's it as well, isn't it?
This is the thing, Rina. It's not even... This is the thing. This is the whole societal thing, though. There are girls as young as 12 who get grey hair. Girls as young as 12. Now that I'm part of the sisters community, like, they talk about when they got their first hair and so on. Girls as young as 12 get it. So how can it be an age thing, you know? It's clearly not, because otherwise they wouldn't get it at 12. There are others that have had it in their teens. Some that have just never dyed their hair, some that went started going grey really early and then had to start dyeing their hair early because they were told they should dye it. Which just makes you think that, hang on, but if she's a teenager, she's not going to look that much older with grey hair. I mean, she's definitely not going to pass as someone in her 40s with grey hair. So this is the thing, isn't it? It's changing that kind of mindset that grey equals old. And it is, it's going to take a long time, because when we look on TV, anywhere like that, a man like Richard Gere can pull a young girl, he's got grey hair and it's absolutely fine. I know he's so dashing and so charming, which he is. But with women, you know, it's always going to be the grandma who's got the grey hair.
Because,
you know,
in Hollywood, like, I again, Bollywood, I don't know, but Hollywood is like, you know, George Clooney, everybody went mental about him for like decades, didn't they? Oh my God, yeah, George Clooney yeah. with the sexy grey hair and all this.
Yeah.
And other guys have gone grey and it's okay. Like, you know, it's fine. Nobody cares. It's all cool. You know, my husband is bald and grey. So he's like, but he has, like, he shaves his head because he started losing his hair. So he shaved his head and he's always been like that. He's never had hair since I've known him.
Yeah.
However, his beard used to be black, obviously. Now it's like completely grey. Not even.
But it's the look, isn't it?
No, exactly. Like... But everyone's like, oh my God, he looks so refined. It's distinguished. This, yeah. that. And I'm like, oh, it is. Yes. Obviously, I love it. You know, I think he looks great. But for me, it's funny because, like, I've gone a while without dyeing my hair now. So I think December. I had it done, and then like I'll just show you actually because it's not.
I can't see. Can you see? I can't see
anything. No, because look, I'm coming to the camera now, and I'll show you this side. Look,
I think I just saw a tiny sparkle.
This
there.
Here. Can you see?
Oh yes.
This is the patch, the grey patch, because I wear my hair like this, and naturally my parting falls like that. So then I was talking to my friend the other day as well. I was like, oh, quite a few grey. She's like, you haven't, it's fine. And then I went, look at this. And she literally went, oh my God. She literally said, she went, oh my God, because it's under here. So it's one side. And I kind of think when I'm ready, I will let it grow and I'll be okay with it being grey. But mine will probably be a big stripe here, like an Indira Gandhi kind of stripe, which I'm kind of looking forward to.
Yeah, because when it actually does grow through, and I've seen other women, it actually looks really cool. That I know. One stripe just going on, I like it.
Yeah, so anyway, so then my husband was like, oh. He looked at me, he was like, oh, you've got some grey hairs, haven't you? And not like, oh, you should dye it or anything. But, you know... I was like, oh, so, you know, what do you think? And he was like, I think I'll just need to get used to it. And yeah. I was like, oh, okay. But, you know, he's not going to say to me, you should dye your hair, because he's totally grey himself in terms of his facial hair. However, there is that thing. And I do know some people who are even like in their 50s now, where if they don't dye their hair, their husband actually says to them, are you going to dye your hair? Because I don't like looking at your grey hairs. They literally say that.
Yeah, I've got an aunt like that, and an uncle like that who does that. He says the same thing to his wife. He'll be like, you need to dye your hair. But he's always been like that about the way that she dresses and so on. And they're in their 60s now. And, she still couldn't if she wanted to because he doesn't want her to. But he's grey himself.
See, this is the thing.
But I guess this is what is... Men have always wanted to kind of appear like that, haven't they? Like, you know, without putting them all in one box, they've always wanted to appear like they've got a younger woman.
Mm.
You know, for them, it's like a great thing, you know, like my woman's still young, my woman, I can go grey, but I can pull a younger woman.
Yeah.
Even though she's a wife for God knows how long, but, you know, it still makes them, you know, we joke about this. We say, like, you know, a guy can be like, big, fat, tubby, teeth missing, balding, whatever. And he will still walk confidently into a pub or a club and feel like he can pull that really gorgeous woman just standing there. You know, they just have that self-confidence regardless of how they look. But they've been given the platform to have that, you know. They've been allowed to feel like that. They've been allowed to, you know, just feel confident in that way. Whereas women, there are so many things with women that I think can break down their confidences, give them insecurities. And it's just... It's hard, but, you know, I feel like we're in an era now where feminism is on the rise. You know, there's a lot of the equality is much more apparent. And, you know, I'm hoping that eventually it will happen. But going back to the uncle and the auntie, but I remember with my parents and my uncles, it was actually the uncles that were dyeing their hair first. Remember, just for men.
Yes, just for men.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they used to, my dad tried it only once, but my uncles used to dye their hair. And I think what happened from back then was they started doing it. And my mum didn't dye her hair until after she saw my uncles do it. And then my auntie started doing it, right?
Okay.
So it was like, then the men just embraced their grey. They're like, okay, we're fine. We're good to go now, right? And the women were kind of left feeling like, well, now I've gotten older, and now if I do it, I'm going to look like your mom, and I'm going to look old, and everyone's going to think that, you know what, you're such a good-looking granddad or dad or whatever, but I'm going to be so aged, you know? So I feel like it kind of left the women just being like, well, we've just got to carry on with this now, because we're just going to look older than you are. And it's sad, because they wouldn't. It's just that they I feel like, you know what that generation's like about grandmas. It's like, as soon as they do go grey, it's like, put the chunni on, spin around, you know. That's it. Gurdwara every day now, without doubt, you know. And, you know, it's just like...
I'm going grey, so I'm gonna embrace, like, my religion now. I found God now, so I don't need to dye my hair. It's like that, right?
Yeah, and it's like, that's it. I'm old now. That's it. I've got my grey hair, and now embracing it, that makes me officially old, so I'm just going to behave like I'm old. And it's just, it's not like that. My mum, she's, I'm a shuck, and she's all grey. She transitioned about 5 years ago now. And her hair looks amazing. You know, she's, her and I can talk. I introduced her to purple shampoo about brightening her hair now, you know, because she's like, how do I make it look good? But she's not one of those women that are like, I've gone into my sari now, and I mean my suit now, and I'm going to be the Gurdwara every day, even though she is religious.
Yeah.
She loves her Marks and Spencer's gear. She's always in, like, you know, her pants and her trousers and always looking at the newest thing that she can buy or whatever in Marks and Spencer's. But but I love the fact that I feel like she's that first change, you know, and now that I've gone grey, I'd be talking to her about negative comments that she used to get. Like, Mom, what did they used to say to you when you first started? And she goes, oh, I went to India, and one of the women was just like, oh my God, couldn't you have waited until your son gets married? Because he's the last in our family.
Yeah.
Couldn't you have waited until your son gets married? You know, then you could have gone grey. And she was just like, well, do you think he won't get married if I've now got grey hair? Like, he's still going to get married.
It's his wedding, not her wedding, right? It's
like... But yeah, it's just it's a whole mindset thing. But I think looking at my mum and embracing it after when she turns 60... And just the way that she dresses and stuff, I feel like it can happen now slowly. Yeah, like with what we're doing now as well.
And before you mentioned that, when you mentioned going grey to your husband, he was not okay with it. So now you are obviously grey. Is he okay with it?
Oh, he's loving the grey Indian now, girl.
Is he?
He, when I first started, I think every about 2 months, he would be like, so you're not going to dye it? And I was like, I'm not going to dye it. And then I think when it came to about 6 months and I started like styling it, and we actually got back out doing the school runs and all that kind of stuff. And he saw on Instagram what was going on, and I was telling him about, you know, I want to start my YouTube channel. Like, I want to get it out there, especially for Asian women.
Yes.
I think that was when he just started thinking, okay, you know what? Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like he just stopped looking at this. It was like, because when we would go out, many women would ask me, Have you done it like this? Have you actually, you know, got that kind of colour put in? And I think that kind of just made me think, oh, okay, you know, this is...
My wife's working it. Wifey's working it,
Yeah, so, he's totally... He's loving it now, so, which is a good thing.
Oh, that's good. So, like people were saying, you look like you've done it, right? And some people have this kind of style where they get grey put in, like, they have, like, silver highlights put in, and I kind of thought about this. I thought, is this my way of transitioning towards just letting my hair be grey? Obviously it's stupid, because it means you're putting dye in your hair, which is like,
but it's each to their own, because it's an easy transition, you know. It's whatever you can make easy on yourself, and that is one of the transitions, you're right. But what I would say is, for Indian women, Asian women, don't do it. Because what will happen is, you need to have your hair bleached at least about 3 times to lift the colour high enough, right? It has to be, the colour has to be lighter than if you want to go blonde, basically. Wow. So then they will go over with a silver toner. And because we've got so much melanin in our hair, what will happen is the toner will come out in like literally 2 weeks when you've been washing it, whether you use purple shampoo or whatever, then you've got to go back to the hairdresser again and again to get that toner. So what will you'll see what will happen is eventually it's just going to go like the color that I have here, like this kind of like blondie ashy color. The silver's just going to completely go. So initially when you get it done, it's going to look fantastic. But what you've gone and done is you've done the damage to your hair. You're going to realize that you don't want to keep going to the hairdresser to do that toner and pay for that. unless you want to, that's a different story. But it literally will be every 2 weeks you'd have to be back at the hairdressers. And oh, I feel like for a lot of women, that's what they kind of want to avoid, is being sat in that chair for that long.
I mean, that just then has put me off now. Yeah. Because, you know, those pictures of this kind of black hair with silver highlights, I'm like, wow, that looks so cool, you know. Okay, right. Yeah, I think it probably looks good in a picture, and what you just said put me off, because even I find that with the balayage, my hair gets brittle, like really dry, so drying. I've been to professional hairdressers before, and they're like, oh, we just can't lift it. We just can't lift your hair, the colour.
That's it, you know.
They put bleach on, and they're like, I don't know what's going on with your hair, but we just can't get it to lighten up.
Yeah.
So my hair would be dead, basically.
It's a process. You have to do it, like, about 3 times over, and not all in the same session. It just, to me, I just think to myself, it's just not worth doing it to the hair. Because when I first declared that I was going to be going grey, I had so many of my friends send me pictures of women who had a little bit of growth hair and then they went all silver. And I thought, if only it was that easy. But you know what? To be honest, Rena, now when I look back, I'm so glad that I didn't take that road. Because the journey that you go on doing this slowly by slowly and transitioning, like, it's just an amazing journey when you're documenting it week by week. And it's not just hair. It's just, you just feel yourself changing and growing in a different way. You know, like when they say that, you know, once you start embracing your silvers, your grays, you know, like, it comes with like getting wiser. And I'm not shitting you, it is true. Like, I'm a wise wizard now. I'm just joking. It really does.
But has it changed you, though, your mindset?
Because you suddenly just kind of, it's a big barrier you break. It's a big barrier of not giving a shit about what anyone else is going to say. No one's going to determine or dictate to me what I'm going to be doing with my hair. Like, it's like you're rebelling, but you're not, because you're going against those societal norms, right? So it's like you walk out and you're like, this is me and this is what I'm doing. And that's it. It's something you just don't really give too much of a crap about what anybody else thinks. And just this internal journey about accepting yourself. Mm. You know, the whole self-acceptance, your self-love, everything like that grows with your hair growing. Confidence. There's another girl that I've seen on Instagram, and I've known her from the past as well. She found me. So we've kind of been, I think she just started transitioning a year later than I did. And even with her, I always saw her like as a lovely girl, but kind of shy, a little bit timid at times. She's growing into this fierce lioness, you know, and I'm just like, wow, I love it. And that's what I like to see. I like to see that women can, with this journey, kind of just coming out of themselves. There's one woman on Instagram who's also Asian, and she's got vitiligo. And she used to have to cover, she covered it up all the time. And since she's starting now going grey, she's felt brave enough to walk out with just a vitiligo. She's been feeling brave enough to just come on Instagram and share pictures of her vitiligo. It just brings a different kind of confidence about, you know, it really does. And I can only say this much about it, and you would only know it if you got to experience it. That's it. You know, but it is, it's an amazing journey, just about your own self-discovery and confidence and acceptance.
Wow. I don't know. I mean, I'm inside, I'm thinking, is this going to be me? Because it's, am I going to cancel that appointment? I don't know.
Come over to the light side, Rena. I know. Do it.
Oh, yes. Look, it's happening already. I might. I don't know. I am seriously thinking about it, though, because... Well, you make it look so good, Haji. You make it look so good. So
this is look, like you just said, like before I went like this, I remember I had a friend of mine. She's really like into yoga, self-healing, love and all that kind of stuff. And there'd be times where she dyes her hair, but there'd be times where she lets her grey grow, right? Mm-hmm. She'll just let it grow and then she'll dye it whenever she feels like it. And I remember back then just be looking at her, but I would never say anything, just thinking, why don't you just dye your greys? Like, what are they doing there? You know, like, I haven't always been this open person until I decided to do it. But, you know, I would be thinking to myself, I'll just dye it. You know, why have you got it? But it just showed me that for her, it was nothing. When she felt like dying, she would dye it. But she had no qualms in it being shown. And I feel like when it comes to the grey hair, it is all about how you're going to carry it and how you're going to feel about it. Because my message isn't to women that drop the box dye, stop dyeing your hair, go grey. all I just say is that, look, if you're fed up of it and you feel like you're doing it because of society and you're doing it to live up to other people's standards, then just rethink about what you want to prioritize in your life. You know, for me, it came to a point where I was only going to the hairdresser 3 times a year, but in between when my hair would grow, I would have to do like box dye just over here because it's all on the hairline for me. So I'd have to do that. And after my second kid, I just thought, right, so this evening, would I rather be sat on the sofa watching Netflix, or would I rather be having a soak in the bath, or would I rather be dyeing my hair? And dyeing my hair just started to make me feel sick. So I was like, I don't want to be wasting my time doing this. Like, I just don't want to do it. To me, it's just time, and that's what it is. It's not even about money for me. Time became such a big factor for me.
Yeah. You know? And when you have kids as well, your time is your time. You're more, you're more kind of, you just kind of guard your time a lot. Yeah. Like, no, this is my time, actually. And it's you want to be doing the box dye? Yeah.
Yeah.
Even a lot of husbands have been roped into this as well, you know. Do you know how many husbands are forced to dye their wife's hair with a box dye? Cause,
really?
Yes. Oh my God, people are like, oh, my husband, he promised he would, but tonight's going to be the day and I'm going to get him to do the box dye. He needs to help me. Oh my gosh. Yes.
That's crazy. I wouldn't even show my husband when I had dye in my hair. Like, it was almost like he has to see that I'm just as naturally.
Oh my God, me too. I was like, I'd be like, don't look at me, don't look at me. But then I stopped caring anymore because it's like, okay, well, this is the process. But first I was like, don't look at me. It's like, you know, when you have bleach on your mucha, don't look at me, don't look at me. This is all natural. Don't worry about it.
You know, with me, my husband's actually younger than me as well. He's a few years younger than me. And so for me, I feel like he just generally, he's a Filipino, so he just naturally just looks really young. He has that lovely skin, you know, like blacks and Asians do, you know.
Yeah.
He just has that really young skin. So for me, I think there's a lot of that kind of mindset going on, like, oh my God, am I going to look older than him? How is it going to look or whatever? But it all comes down to taking care of yourself. That's the truth of it. I could have dark hair and look much older as well, but I feel like this lighter hair just puts a certain kind of light. And it has to get to a certain point, Rena. So in the first 4 months, you might be like, oh. But once it gets to around about 6 to 9 months, that's when it looks like it's on purpose. And you kind of feel like, right, now I can rock it. I'm wearing you now, you know? You're not wearing me.
But because you are a makeup artist, you know what you're doing, you know, in terms of looking good, right? Obviously, you look fabulous, right? But for people who are not makeup artists, who maybe can just about apply eyeliner and mascara, right? That it's like, are they going to look the same? Or are they just going to, you know, if they're going on a school run with like greasy grey hair piled up on their head with some tracksuit bottoms on, I don't know, is that just going to look like someone who can't be bothered and who's let themselves go, as opposed to somebody who, like you, who looks on point with the rest of themselves?
Okay, first let me tell you, I have put on makeup today, especially for this podcast and this Zoom. I don't look like this when I go on my school run. I really don't. I've gotten so lazy that my lipstick is literally my lipstick, my blusher, and a little bit of eyeshadow. And that's how I walk out of the house.
Okay.
Robert old school. That is literally how I walk out the house, just to put a bit of pink on my cheeks. So, you know, I just think that, you know, like, I don't look like this on a daily basis, and I don't always make a lot of effort with my makeup. The only time I do it is when I'm doing it for YouTube, or if I'm doing it for Instagram Reels, and that isn't every day. So I'm just like everybody else, really. I mean, in my Instagram, I might look a certain way, but if you look in certain pictures where I actually don't have any makeup on, you can actually see what that more raw side of me looks like. But that's just what you're going to have to... That's just what you kind of have to accept about yourself, I feel like, you know, and that will happen, you know, because once you go on this journey, you're going to have those days where you look like that. But like I told you about this woman with vitiligo, the acceptance is going to come with it as well. You know, we do look like that normally. We do look like this naturally, you know, everything else is just makeup and that's it. So even with greasy hair, I honestly feel like when you've got darker hair and you have greasy hair, it looks worse than if you had gray hair, because when you've got dark hair and it goes greasy, like, you've got that proper wet look going on, but it's not quite the wet look. It's just a really oily look. But whereas when you've got grey hair, it won't take to grease like that. It's okay. Different. And your hair's in better condition as well. So I honestly think it's all about how people wear it, you know. If you're having a bad day, then do what you would do even when you have dark hair. Stick a hat on. Stick a cap on, you know. So
yeah. You know what? That is, you've given some really good advice and really good tips on going grey, gracefully, proudly. And thanks so much, Haji, for coming on. It's been really nice
talking
to you.
Thank you so much for having me. I've had a good laugh.
It's been really nice. And thank you to everyone who has tuned in to another episode of the Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect. So let me know your thoughts on going grey. What do you think? Is grey the new black? Get in touch, mommyimperfect@gmail.com. Follow me on Insta, Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect. And also at Rena Deanna Bill. I'm going to be back next Thursday with a brand new episode. Until then, take care, Bernie. Bye.